Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for looking after us during the week. Even we have to experience some sad news. And Lord, thank you for many blessings. Even you bless us and also touching this morning our hearts to put aside some funds for your church, for the spreading the gospel, and also may the gospel reach every corner of this world in order to hasten your coming. Bless us, Lord, and may we continue to be faithful to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you. It was very beautiful. I'm not sorry of missing the second hymn. We can sing hymns anytime, but we don't have always musicians. And excellent. May God bless you. And I think some of us recognize the melody, yeah? Some of the popular one. In its time. Yes, that's right. Not. Happy Sabbath, all of you. It's good to be back in Hamilton. It's good to see some visitors. That means that they decided to join us this morning. It's good to be in God's church on Sabbath. We can be anywhere, you know, we can stay at home, we can be in the city park, but it's good to be in God's church because it's we are coming to present ourselves before God and also to be spiritually uplifted, and also to share what God has done during the midtime in our lives, to share things. Sometimes we have to listen, but it's good when we have a Sabbath school where we can communicate and we can discuss. I have to. Really, it was a difficult week when I heard from Monday when Paul called me about passing the brother Milan. I couldn't believe. As a pastor, I heard all kind of news, but really didn't expect that kind of call. When Brother Paul says there is a sad news, it never crossed my mind that from Hamilton we are going to lose somebody. I knew that we had a few, maybe older people, but they were in good strength. Yeah, the sadness of passing Brother Milan, it really struck me. And this is what we know by theory, but sometimes difficult when we have to accept the reality of life. You know, we know that we are strangers on this earth. We know that sooner or later we have to depart. But when we heard the news that somebody of who is close to us really experienced that departure unexpectedly, it's difficult to comprehend. But when I spoke with Mitch during the winter, and he encouraged me. He said, you know, sooner or later we know that Jesus is coming, and you know, we have a great hope. I was thinking maybe we are going to sing later that great hope of coming of Jesus, which in the time of trouble, that's what faith is about. Not just in shining in good times of life, when the trouble struck, when the storm comes in our life, then when it's shaking the fundamentals of our beliefs, then the faith comes to realization. Then we need God more than ever, you know. And I think as a church as well, is a waking call to be ready. Because next Sabbath, I don't know who is going to be of us here. Can you guarantee? Can you sign a paper that you will be here next Sabbath? Nobody knows. But it's good to have a faith and hope and of coming of Jesus. I think may God bless the Kelleman family, Sister Maria, Brother Mitch, and I spoke with Caroline as well. It's not easy, and we can share some of the memories on Monday when you're all welcome to attend to the funeral service here in 1 o'clock on Monday at the funeral directory office or chapel, what they have there. Before I proceed with our topic today, let's have a short prayer. Heavenly Father, we once more we're coming before you this hour to ask you for your wisdom, to ask you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit to lead us during this study of your word. Bless us and help us, Lord, to be ready for your coming, because time is shorter than we are aware of that. Bless everyone and lead us with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray that. Amen. This morning I would like to encourage you to open Gospel of Luke chapter 21. Gospel of Luke chapter 21. You know, Matthew 24. Do you know by heart what Matthew 24, the main topic is there? What Matthew 24 is talking about? God's law or signs of the time, signs of coming of Jesus, yes. And the similar chapter in Luke is chapter 21, almost from different perspective. Of course, because a different author, you know, he emphasized the same issue from different perspective. That's the reason why we have not one gospel, not two gospels, not three. How many? Four gospels, you know. The same events, the same sermons which people are listening from Jesus brought to our attention from different perspectives. Sometimes certain authors emphasized a little bit more certain topics, some of them less, depends how they thought will be, you know, and the inspiration of God's Spirit will be good for the people of our times. In Gospel of Luke chapter 21 is full with the warning of Jesus. It speaks about coming of Jesus and how what is going to happen in this world. And then the end of the chapter, and I believe that most of the signs will have to deal with the worldly people outside to be aware that something is coming. And the end of the chapter, Jesus, in his sermon, he's preaching more close to the disciples to warn them in the specific issues which can be very, very, very present. And in Luke chapter 21, 34 to 36, Jesus is saying here in that chapter, but take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighted down with carousings, drunkenness, and cares of this life. And that day of coming of Jesus, come on you unexpectedly. For it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch therefore, and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. Jesus is very specific. He's very direct, and he, in those three, four verses, Jesus is listing three specific evils which would distract the God's people so as to ease them to miss those signs which are mentioned in the whole chapter. And for that reason, Jesus says, take heed of yourselves, or somehow be careful about yourself, or, you know, be aware, be on alert, because not to miss something very important, and the day of the coming to come, and not to be ready. Because says here, and the day will come, for it will come as a snare on how many? All those who dwell. Not just to a certain group of people, to all of them who dwell on this earth, including the elect one. And Jesus says, the devil will try to deceive even the very elect. Those, you know, we have to be on alert, we have to be focused, what we studied this morning, we have to have that living relationship with Jesus, not on just on Sabbath day, when we will when we dress well and coming, but we have to be Adventists how many days of the week? 8, okay? Yes, every moment, every day, we have to be, you know, ready for the coming of Jesus. Very important. I said there is so many signs happening around us, earthquakes, tsunamis, and many other things. But the very important, those signs are talking to us that Christ is on the way. Somebody says you can hear the sound of His voice or shoes or walking, you know, how He's on the way. And we are just awaiting for His appearance. But we have to pay attention to those three things which Jesus is mentioning in His chapter, to be on alert, to be aware. Says, by take heed to yourself, heart be weighted down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life. I would like to spend a little bit of time this morning just focusing on those three things which the Bible speaks. If Jesus highlighted as a those specific things, that means has to be those important for us. We have to be very careful how we live, because the day come on you unexpected. I don't want to be caught unaware, unprepared. What about you? I believe the same. You want to be ready. You know, these three specific evils, I checked different translations. You can find different expressions: dissipation, surfeiting, carousing, all the same. What? I wasn't born in Australia. My English is not originally. How you can translate? What is the meaning of dissipation? Or what is another word for you? You don't use it. What is our current word today instead of that? What, being what? That's right. It's a pleasure, number one. Have a fun. Have a good time. That means one of the traps, the snare which many people will be caught in having good time, that's the sin of carousing or surfeiting or dissipation, of having too much pleasure, too much focus on those things. Somebody says self-indulgence, pleasure, the meaning. And I believe that we are aware of that excessive indulgence in pleasure, somebody says. Pleasure, it's a number one for many people. Jesus is warning us as generation before His second coming not to be involved in that kind of activity when the pleasure can be a number one. You know, when people are just everything what life is giving to them, it focuses on them, the selfishness. Jesus says, but in 2 Timothy 3, 1-4, but know this, that in the last days, men will be, speaks about many other things, so lovers of what? Rather than lovers of God. In the last days, the day which we live, it's characterized by the pleasure. God prophesies, Jesus prophesies that just before He comes, the world will focus too much on pleasure and spend time and money on pleasure. Then that pleasure will make them unaware of the coming of Jesus. You know, God is not a person who wants to steal the joy and happiness from our lives. No. He says, Jesus says, I come to bless you and I will bless you abundantly. But when the pleasure become a focus, the pleasure become number one in our life, and people, in order to have that experience, they are wasting the energy and time and many other things. They don't have a time for God. Then we can be deceived if we are not careful. Jesus says that lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Today, where are the biggest number of the people? They are attending church or attending some pleasure events? What do you think? Sports, it's like time of Romans, you know? The gladiators, sport, enjoyment. Let's have a fun, you know? Next, you know, in Gateway Shopping Center in Bornable, last year, just before Christmas, they opened a shop for alcohol. And I was amazed how many people are taking for the weekend boxes of beer, all kind of drinks, you know? Let's have a fun. The weekend is just bottle and have a fun. Sports or other kind of thing. Enjoy yourself. Focus. Love instead lovers of God. Somebody says, if we have on Wednesday prayer meeting here or in some churches and another social activity, when we will have more people? When we have a prayer meeting or social activities, enjoyment, pleasure, fun, you know? That's what's happening. There is a danger in plenty. Solomon, David, people of Israel, they all went from God in the time of prosperity and abundance. Not when in time of trouble. Solomon was very faithful to the Lord until he had so much. And suddenly, slowly, he moved. What about David? The same. People of Israel as well. When God blessed them, they turned their back towards him. And James says in New Living Translation, your motive is wrong. You want only what will give you pleasure. What give you pleasure. Lasting pleasure should be your reward, not your pursuit. We can find enjoyment and pleasure and happiness in Jesus. There are plenty. But the pleasure which this world is offering, it's false. People are more hungry and thirstier because it's never satisfied. If you don't believe me, look at what's happening, how many famous people, actors or singers, are finishing their lives. They were searching for happiness. Did they find? Their pictures were always on the front page of the newspapers and magazines. People were applauding them and screaming that they are singing. You know, but how they finished? They didn't find the pleasure or happiness which they were expecting, and dying in their own room, taking their own lives, or a lot of drugs around them. They tried to find happiness in drugs because this world hasn't satisfied. Only Jesus can give them. Yes, a measured amount of pleasure is important in every life. But when we become hooked on pleasure, we are in trouble. Too much pleasure deadens our spiritual interests. Too much pleasure is intoxicating. Become blind, become, you know, the sharpness of our memories we are losing, and the conscious, we become less sensitive to the God's voice. Because pleasure, it's, you know, God's pleasure is different, but the worldly is it's focused on us, and the end is destroying us. Pleasure everywhere, you can see on the media, newspapers, internet, everywhere. Just enjoy, just have a fun. Come, you know, this world is offering pleasure, all kind of things, which doesn't satisfy it, unfortunately. If you don't, there is you know, if you shop receipts reveals how we really spend. Many people are spending more on the pleasure and entertainment than on the needy. That means people are really focused on that. This year 2000, the average Australian spent more on entertainment, 7% of income, than food, 6.9%, more on the entertainment. You know, it's not bad to have certain media stuff, but have to be. Today, there's enormous things. I met one man who is not Seventh Day Adventist, but he's tradesman. He's doing plastering. He said, "Nick, recently I was doing a house in central rich districts in Melbourne. There, putting the plaster." He said, "I was a house which is worth, will be worth more than $1 million, and the owner, he built a special theater room. It's popular today." And he spent about $200,000 just to get to the foundation, to the level. All the tier room is down in the earth. He spent $70,000 just on the new PA system. He put all the speakers behind the plaster and everything there. When he sit to enjoy, the music, the sound, the colors, everything. People are spending enormous amount of money to have a good feeling for their own pleasure. This is just a small example of how much money people are spending and energy just to have a good feeling. In the same time, people are dying without food, without education, children suffering from malaria of the world, and many. If you knock on their door for donation, they will give you maybe 5 cents if you're a lucky one. I'm just saying the pleasure is somehow... It's sucking the people just for themselves. Okay, they earn that money, they have a right to spend the way how, but we as a Christian, we know that we are stewards of everything, not just of the time, but also of the money and many of God has given to us. This is just 9 months at a time, and this is just of the list, 26,000 a year what people are spending. You can see entertainment, which leads to the pleasure, is very, very much. How much is too much? Parents spend for Christmas present to the children, $390 per child, to make children happy. They don't have much time during the week. And buy a toy, throw the money. This is just practical. How much we as Australians or Western, especially the Western countries, are hooked on pleasure, of enjoyment, of fun. And the Bible says, as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So it also will be the coming of the Son of Man. The Bible very clear. Making comparison with the time of Noah and the time before Jesus comes. God is nothing against marrying, because we have to marry. That's the God's command. We have to drink, of course. We need the fluid in our bodies. We have to eat. We need energy. But when that become, I can say, people become obsessed with that, that's the wrong thing. When people become number one, they are not taking care about the values anymore, just to have that, to get to what they want, and neglecting the needs of the surrounding, of the world, of themselves, or the friends, of poor people around. When everything on them, on their own pleasure, then that can become dangerous. What's happened with the people before the flooding? Everything, all the resources which they have, they use for their own pleasure. Ellen White speaks in the book of Patriarchy Prophecies that all the beauties, the diamonds and everything was on the surface of the land. The land was beautiful. It was so rich and blessed by God. And they all used all resources for their own pleasure. And they said, "We got everything. Why we need God anymore?" And they slowly, they departed from God. And that was on the process of destroying the image of God totally. God has to take a stand and intervene for the future generation. And you can see how that can lead step by step to committing a very serious sin to God. Eating, drinking, marrying. Those things become their purpose of living. all other purposes God put before them, they put aside, they didn't appreciate it. Today, over 60,000 Americans die each year from illegal drug use. Over 600,000 die from overeating and activity. Plenty, abundance. You know, we can earn money, we can have full tables of everything there, but is it always good for us? That's a difference. You know, recent study says that more than half the population of Australia overweight. In Victoria, I think the Ararat defines one of the most overweight people are there. I don't know. It's, you know, that's way too high a price to pay for something that doesn't buy long-term happiness, pleasure, self-indulgence, enjoy, have a fun, you know. You're living once on this earth, people say. You know, let's do whatever it takes. They're not thinking about the consequences. And Proverbs says, whoever keeps the law is the discerning son, but a companion of gluttons shames his father. The Bible is very open. And it speaks about how we have to be on alert things. 2 Peter 3:3 says, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own what? Lust. The desire, the flesh. The flesh makes decisions. Instead, the brain, God put us brain, you know, brain is supposed to be to control the decisions. But today, the flesh controls the decisions. If I feel good, let's do it, you know. There is no boundaries, no spiritual laws, no, you know, that become old fashioned style. Let's enjoy what you think. You're living once, man. You are young once, they said. You know, grab whatever takes. But people are not thinking further. And Peter says, the coming of the last days, people will walk according to their own lusts. There will be no regulation, no respect for any other around them. Just led by the lust. Religious groups lead gay parade. You know? No boundary. Just if you feel good, who cares anymore? There is no norms, no integrity which we used to have in the past, you know. Downward spiral of morality. Immoral acts are first abhorred, then tolerated, then accepted, then finally such acts are defended. That's how society leads. Me, myself. My law, if I feel good, who care about others? Everything my pleasure, for my fun. And the whole generation is bringing in that way, which is not good at all. Sexual immorality today. The motto is, if it feels good, do it. No matter that the Bible condemns fornication, adultery, homosexuality, it is world of me first. You know, people become center of themselves and become then called. Billy Graham says once, if Jesus doesn't come soon, he will have to resurrect the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah and apologize to them. Because the whole world almost becomes Sodom and Gomorrah today, not just in the past. What was one of the major causes of Sodom's wickedness? What was? I just copied Ezekiel 14:49. Look, this was the iniquity of your sister Sodom. She and her daughter had pride, fullness of food, and abundance of idleness. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. What was the sin of the people of Sodom, apart of others? Always with abundance, self-indulgence, pleasure. Focus on themselves and forgetting on reaching that they crossed the boundaries which God put. There was no anymore immoral act anymore. They become law for themselves, you know. If their conscience approved, that's it. They don't need any more to you know, any other. And the fullness of food and abundance of idleness, doing nothing, and slowly they move in that condition. God has to take action. 2 Peter 2:6, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterward would live ungodly. Everything happened in the past in order for our sake. It's written in the Bible to be aware, not to, things to be repeated. Maybe it will be repeated somewhere, but I don't want to take part in that. I want to, not to be taken, to be somehow unaware of the things. And Jesus coming to come unexpectedly and to be caught in that kind of environment. Matthew 24:12 says, and because loneliness will around, what will happen with the love? Love of many will grow cold. When everything, all resources are focused on me, when I'm always thinking about my desire, my appetite, my feelings, to feel good, then slowly, I'm losing the love for others start disappearing. I stop caring anymore for others. Because the all resources I'm trying to use for myself, energy, time, and everything, that is not good according to the scripture. 50% to 70% of the marriages end in divorce. From 70s, 90s, the marriage rate has fallen nearly 30%, and the divorce has increased about 40%. Love become cold. People are entering the marriage and become very self-centered. One of the major reasons why people are separating because of the selfishness. Do you know that? The today generation, they don't sacrifice many self things in order to make other people happy. They want everybody to please them. If you don't please me, then thank you very much, I'll leave you. That's the logic. Till death do us apart. That was the logo before. Today, till I find somebody better. Totally different. But Ellen White speaks in the book of Patriarchs and Prophets, when the prophets, people of God, are uniting with the world, living as they live, and joining with them in forbidden pleasures, when the luxury of the world becomes the luxury of the church, when the marriage bells are chiming, and all are looking forward to many years of worldly prosperity, then suddenly, as the lightning flashes from the heavens, will come the end of their bright visions and the Lord's hopes. God wants us to have a good time, to have a blessed time, to have a happy life. But there is a boundaries which God established for us. By obeying those boundaries, we can find the real happiness, enjoyment. When we cross above the boundaries in order to find pleasure and happiness, then we are going to get to be more hungry and thirsty, and will lead us at the end to the destruction, and we will die as a hungry and thirsty for the happiness, because the world doesn't satisfy what he offers. And we, as a God's people, we have to be aware. Okay, time is flying. I have to move to the second point. There is a 3 points here. The Bible says some will be caught in drunkenness. It's important when Jesus speaks about the last events, he speaks that's a dangerous as well. 28% of all alcoholics are under the age of 18. Special Australians. I find the country people, like in, I don't know much here, but in Warrnambool, many people are drinking alcohol. A lot of people. And we know we don't need to say too much about alcohol, because we know that even the society is trying slowly to educate generation, rising the taxes, the cost, or many other things to make people aware, to stay away from the alcohol. Alcohol brings only the problems, health issues, fightings, accidents on the roads. They have no one single 1% benefit from the alcohol, but still people have tried to find satisfaction. Highly addictive and damaging drug. I got a man in Warrnambool who is trying so much to help him to get rid of the alcohol, but it's so difficult because it's even his health is going down. His close friend died and he was 45 from too much alcohol, the liver's gone, and many other. And it's, you know, only through God's help I believe he will overcome. But you know, alcohol, it's people are like in the chain, you know, they are not free. They don't have a freedom. They talk about the freedom, but they don't know what real freedom is. You know, when trouble struck, when the stress comes, that running in that corner and grabbing the bottle, believing that they will find satisfaction, but they know that after that, they are deeper and deeper in the problem. And we have to be aware that we have to be very careful about, we as a church, we are abstinent. Millions of teens struggle with drug addiction. What does the Bible teach about alcohol? Just wine is a mocker, strong drink is a brawler, and whoever is led astray by it, not wise. You know, God, when he gave us advice in the scripture, he is our friend, we have to trust him. He gave us for our sake, for our goodness. And it doesn't matter, one cup or two cups, it's not recommended by the Lord at all. Alcohol is deceptive, it is addictive, it destroys brain cells, dramatically affects our ability to reason. A few years ago I had a meeting with a representative of another church, and we had one man who was visiting our church, and he didn't know who to believe, and he invited elders of that church, and we sat together, we discussed with the Bible, you know, explain why, you know. I said, we are Christ's ambassadors, we have to represent Jesus, you know, and alcohol is damaging our brain cells. You are not drunk because you are still controlling yourself, but every single drop of alcohol is making some cells drunk. And we you know, we have to be very focused always. We have to be sober all the time. 2 out of 5 people who begin drinking have serious problems. Abstain. That's no temptation has overtaken you except such is a common to men, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. If you have the trouble, God can help you if you're willing, if you open your heart for that. I have to say that drinking is not just worldly problem, but that enter slowly in our churches as well. Some doctors are recommending a little bit extra wine, you know, alcohol wine for your heart. I had a friend who said, you know, I went to the doctor, he said, you know, it's good to have a couple glasses per day, wine is good. You know, he said, who we have to believe? The doctor, the worldly one, or the Bible? You know, it's easy sometimes to find, to excuse yourself because the GP told you, no? You have to be very careful. But now, children were teenagers. They went to the one Adventist party there, and you know, some boys brought some alcohol there. You have to be careful. Okay, so whatever you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Keep in mind, glory of God, not just on Sabbath, but every day. Whatever we do, with every other activity, we have to keep in mind, do I give glory to God? Or just glory to yourself, to my stomach, to my, you know, to feel good. Okay? Worry, just a couple more minutes. The Bible says anxiety of the world will caught many by surprise, coming of Jesus. Worry, anxiety of life. Some people worry about the money, how to earn, some other how to spend, where to invest. Some have a problem, maybe. Do they have a problem with the money? Okay? Talk with our treasurer. He got a solution. Okay? Okay, some people worry when they're aging. You know, who is going to look after me? Is going my grandchild to come? I'm going to stay at home. I'm going to retirement, retirement village. There is a worry as well. Some people worry about their relationships. You know, is going to last? Do my husband love me enough? It's going to be all kind of worries. You know, all kind of worries. This is just 3 or 4. There's so many different worries. Worries are part of our life. We can't ignore them, but we have to see. We have to see how much we can give them a space in our life, because if we are not aware, they can overtake us, and they can, you know, we can become the life become burdened, and we will lose our direction and preparation for coming of Jesus. An average person anxiety after just 40 things will never happen, 30 things about the past that can't change, 12 things about But 8% real problems that we'll face, we worry unnecessary. We worry for many things will never happen. Only 8% about real problems that we'll face. That means don't worry too much. And don't allow the worries to take you too long, you know, too much energy. Steps to Christ, Ellen White says, some are always fearing and borrowing trouble. Every day they are surrounded with the tokens of God's love. Every day they are enjoying the bounties of His providence. But they overlook these present blessings. Their minds are continually dwelling upon something disagreeable, which they fear may come, or some difficulty may really exist, which thou small blind their eyes to the many things that demand gratitude. You know, there is a, and everybody says, so many good things around us which we can make us happy and bring joy in our hearts. Don't just focus on the problems and troubles, even sometimes come very difficult and difficult to deal with them. What we can do to overcome worry, we have to trust God in those days. Because the Bible speaks the days will be very difficult and to bear it. But we can find understanding in Jesus. 1 Peter says 5:7. What we have to do with our worries, with our anxieties. What to do? Cast them upon Him. You know, we have to share. But before you're going to bed tonight, that, Lord, I'm putting all my burdens of life on You, Lord. Lead me. I believe You that You love me and you know my life in advance, Lord. It'll never happen nothing unless You allow me. Give me the trust, Lord. We have to trust, Lord. Like a small baby, child is jumping in the hands of the Father's hand. You know, that's a trust. He will never allow us to hit down and to break us when we fail. Jesus, we have to trust. That's a reality, especially in the time of trouble. Trust. We have to put God first. And Matthew says, we have to, the kingdom of God, that means God and the interest of God in the first place. And learn to live one day at a time. Oh, what am I going to do for the next couple of years? Don't take, you know, sometimes you have to think in advance. But try to live one day at a time. Anxiety does not empty tomorrow of its worries and sorrows. It only empties today of its strength. The fourth point, stay busy. Idleness of the Sodomites, you know, in the beginning. Stay busy, be focused, do something. Go find something, you know, to do. Or open your, some of the older people have this carpentry shop or in the garage. Do something, be involved in something. Go offer yourself to the community. Go to the information center 1 hour per day or offer service to somebody. Do something, be involved. Will give you strength, will give a sharpness of your mind, and also you will be protected, not in much time to think about unnecessary things. Blessed is the person who is too busy to worry in the daytime and too sleepy to worry at night. You can be blessed in that way. Okay? Watch and pray, Bible says. Watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. You know, coming of Jesus is a very important event. We don't want to miss. This is culmination of the history. Everything what Jesus created when He came 2,000 years ago, He will finish. The plan of salvation will be completed. Jesus is coming to take us. I don't want to miss that point. I don't want to be caught in the too much worry or in drunkenness or in emphasizing the whole life about just having a fun and good time. I want something more. And Jesus says, watch therefore, pray, be on alert. You know, have a time for God, and God will help you to be ready. Because time of the end is coming. We don't know. We don't know the hour. We don't know of the year. But we know that Jesus will come. He will take us. He wants us to be ready. When Jesus comes, people will say, yes, that's our Savior. We're waiting for Him. We will see our dear ones as well together, and we will spend eternity with Him. May Jesus be your friend today. And if you haven't accepted Jesus, accept Him as your personal Savior today, and be ready for His coming. May God bless you all. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank You for this beautiful hope, the blessed hope of your coming. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for giving us those warnings in your word that we have to take them into consideration before you appear on the sky, Lord. Thank you for your Holy Spirit who is sent to us, to our hearts, to remind us about those warnings which you have emphasized in your scripture in order not to be caught in these worldly events, but to be ready for your coming. Lord, we are so blessed by having that hope, by having an understanding of the prophecies of your coming. Please help us to be on alert, maybe spend more time with you. May we trust you more, and may we strengthen our relationship with you. We can't do this by ourselves. Lord, we are just opening ourselves for your spirit, for your guidance. And please, don't allow any of us to be lost, but all to be saved, and when you come, to spend eternity with you. That's our desire, Lord, and we pray this in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.